Good morning, everyone. Happy Saints Sunday. We're at the Caesar Sportsbook First Take inside the Dome right now. Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak as we gear up for week one of the regular season. Preseason talk is gone and done with. We made it through the mini bye week going into the regular season. Had two games already in action with the league on Thursday, Friday football, and now Saints Sundays are back.
Yeah, man, and you know, I'm excited about it. Like, as negative as people are around this team, like, it doesn't really matter. Like, nothing anyone says matters. What matters is what happens when you go out there and play the game. So it's like, if I'm the Saints, I don't really care whether people are predicting me to come in last in the NFC South, or people are predicting we win four games, we lose by seven plus to the Cardinals. Like, all you can do is go out there and prove them wrong, right? And so we'll see. So I'm not going to sit here and be negative. What's the point of being negative? We got all season to be negative. Let's be optimistic. Like, I'm hopeful. Like, I think what I appreciate about where the Saints are right now, and what you can say about the expectations or lack thereof, is that there's going to be situations this year where teams come into the Superdome and lose a game, and they will lose their collective minds. Like, their fan base is going to go nuts. It's like, everyone told me this was the worst team in the NFL. Why aren't they the worst team in the NFL? And if that's the case, it's going to be because you have veteran leadership. The quarterbacks play within themselves, whichever one is out there. Obviously, it's going to be Spencer Rattler today. And Kellen Moore's team plays with discipline, right? If you go back and you look at, okay, what was the story of those first two games, other than a very long lightning delay in the first one? It's the teams that won were the ones that executed and didn't make stupid mistakes in critical moments. It didn't drop easy passes to your star wide receiver in critical moments. They didn't have the best defensive player on your team forgetting how to contain a quarterback on a third and 14. Like, those are mental mistakes. They are not, oh, we had the wrong scheme, we didn't have the talent. They are, weren't ready to execute in week one. And a lot of times that's the story in week one. It's not about who's the better team. It's about who plays closer to their ceiling.
I'm anxious, Jeff, to see the Dome crowd today. Week one of the season, a new era of football starting with Kellen Moore leading this squad after just winning the Super Bowl in this same building with the Philadelphia Eagles. And just, there should be this renewed type of excitement around the team. Yes, like you mentioned, expectations are not high for this black and gold bunch going into this season, but all the more to, you know, prove the doubters wrong and do a little something to show that, you know, they're getting back to relevance right now.
Yeah, I mean, the energy is going to be in the building. There's no question.
I mean, man.
And what this team has to do is earn that.
Yes.
Right? Well, one of the defining characteristics of the Dennis Allen era was not that they'd lost a bunch of games. It's that they lost a bunch of games here and looked bad doing it. And you can't do that if you want your fans to show up and get excited about your team. Like, if all the Saints do this year is become a team that takes advantage of home field, then the fans will be more into it. Because they'll get out here and they'll see a good showing on the field, right? Like, you just can't have, like week 6 and 7 last year where you faced the Bucs and the Broncos and got blown out in both games. Like, how do you generate excitement around your team if they pay their good money to come here and get treated to that? Like, you just can't do that. So it's like, you have to at least show up at home and play well. You know, like, you're not going to win every game, but you got to give people something to get excited about. And that's what I'm hoping to see today. Like, I don't know. I don't know what my expectations are for this game. It's a 6.5-point spread. That's a massive home underdog.
I agree totally. That was way too high of a number for me.
Well, I mean, home teams typically get 3 points, so it's kind of like a 9.5-point underdog
right,
when you look at it that way. So, like, that's just where you are. And so I want this team to come out and play competitive, right? Like, you're not going to win every game, but I want them to at least be in the game in the fourth quarter and give themselves a chance. And that's so many of their losses over the last 3 years have been the opposite, where you're down 20 points in the fourth quarter and the best you can hope for is to have a rally that's almost impossible, right? Like, the final score line, it's one of those, oh, the score made it look closer than it was. Like, I don't want any more of those games. I want games that you're in, and if you can't pull them out, that's one thing, but you got to be in those games.
Make it entertaining, please.
Right.
We did have some roster moves going into today's game. Saints signed defensive end Fadel Diggs to the active roster from the practice squad, and they elevated tight end Jack Stahl and defensive end Jonah Williams to the active roster for today's game against the Cardinals. And they've waived Jake Haener, so
yep.
that roster shuffling seems to be ongoing with him.
Yeah, it's not a fun life to lead as the depth quarterback, because anytime you're like in a roster crunch, which is the case because Chase Young's not going to play today, you just gotta, like, we need a roster spot. Who's it going to be? Okay, it's the third quarterback.
Like, yeah,
like, it would be nice to have him on the roster, but if the options are wave him or wave somebody else, you're gonna wave the quarterback, right? Because he's, in a perfect world, he's not going to contribute. And even in the situation where the starter gets hurt, he's not going to contribute. So, you know, that's kind of where you are.
I kind of joke to you, now the emergency number three quarterback, who is that?
I mean, I don't think they necessarily have one, right? Like, I think it'll be, you mentioned Alvin Kamara. Like, I think he'll run a lot of Wildcat. He'll do that. But here's the thing. Like, I get why teams want to have that third quarterback. If you get to that third quarterback,
you're doomed anyway.
You're in a world of trouble, whether it's a running back who's just, you know, it doesn't matter. I don't think that's a huge deal. But, yeah, I think it's telling that, you know, they're going to have a rotation at the defense, at the edge rusher spot. They don't want to be in a position where Carl Granderson and Cam Jordan go out there and play 100% of the snaps. And Brandon Staley talked about this, like, especially when you face a guy like Kyler Murray, he's going to force you to run around and contain. You need to keep those guys fresh so that in the fourth quarter, when you're playing the money downs, ideally if you have money downs in the fourth quarter, that they're fresh and they can go make those plays. Like, the way you play in the first quarter has to be the same way you play in the fourth quarter. It can't be and week ones, week twos, like early in the season, you're not really in game shape. They don't get to do enough work in the training camp anymore to be in true game shape. Like, you don't have six preseason games. You don't have 2-a-days. Like, you're going out there and a lot of these guys are kind of getting into that in real time. And that's why I think you see some of these breakdowns late in games. Early in the season. That's why the week one, week two results, like, don't put too much stock in them, because a lot of times you just see players playing differently when they're gassed at the end of a game. So
I'll still take a week one, a week two from last year any day of the week.
Yeah, I mean, the Saints, I mean, here's the thing, like, as frustrating as the Saints have been over the last
six years,
they've won every week one, dating back to 2019. They have not lost a week one game, which is honestly remarkable. But still disappointing because it hasn't really led to much. Obviously, 2020, you know, they had a good season there. They went to the divisional round of the playoffs. Since then, it's all been 9-8 or worse. So, you know, as fun as it would be to win today, I don't think it would swing a lot of people's perceptions of this team. Let's put it that way.
Looking at some of the injuries, you mentioned that we're not going to have Chase Young in action. He sustained a quad injury, right?
Calf
injury.
Yes.
In practice on Wednesday, ended up being a no-show, no-go on Thursday and Friday's workouts, so he will not take part in today's game. And not a surprise at all was Trevor Penning dealing with a toe issue as well.
Yeah, Trevor hasn't practiced. The only other player with a game day designation was Jordan Howden with an oblique injury. The good news is Alante Taylor did not have a game day designation, which is an indicator that he's going to play. The question I have is how much.
Right.
Are you going to give him a full workload, or maybe you're going to meter some of his reps? And, you know, for example, a lot of times when you're in nickel, he'll be in the star position. But when you're in base, he'll kick out to the outside corner spot, and Ike Yadin will come off the field. Is this a situation where you just keep him exclusively to the nickel reps and you have Ike play outside just to take some of that workload? We'll have to wait and see how it goes in the game. But, no, I mean, the Chase Young, I think the term you would use is abundance of caution, right? If this was week six, I don't know if they would have handled it differently. I just think you're going into week one. He hasn't got a ton of reps in the preseason. I just don't want to mess with it if there's a question that, hey, he could go out there and react and make it worse. You know, well, you see calf injuries. It's a vague term, a calf injury. Your calf's a big muscle group, and you've seen calf injuries turn into Achilles injuries. You saw it with Aaron Rodgers, that training camp of 2 years ago. All camp, it was like, his calf tightness, he's not feeling great, but he's playing, and he goes out there and, like, what, five plays into the game, he blows his Achilles out.
What's his name from the Pacers in the finals we saw?
Yeah, Tyrese Halliburton, right?
Kevin
Durant, same situation, when he was like, oh, calf injury, suddenly it's an Achilles. So you just want to play it safe. You don't want to do anything in week one that's gonna impact your entire season. And so I think that's more what this is about. Chase Young talked in the locker room, and he was asked, hey, is this something you expect to be a long-term thing? And his quote was, hell no. Like, he's like, this is not going to keep me out for an extended period of time, but you just got to kind of wait and see. And it's frustrating, right? Like, you paid him on that contract. He's on a 3-year deal. You want to see him out there. I'm sure he's as frustrated as anyone because, you know, it is kind of the irony is, hey, and I don't know if irony is the word, but you know, this is the first game he's had with the Saints where he doesn't have a per game incentive attached to that contract. Would he have maybe pushed a little harder last year? You don't know. But I do think the Saints are going to play the long game here because, you know, he's going to be here for 3 years on that contract, right? It's not all week one of the 2025 season.
No, and I'm sure you've, you know, all the shows leading up to today's game, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, expecting big things from Chase Young this year, too.
I think everyone's expecting
big things. Sack guy.
I think everyone's expecting big things from Chase Young, and he's looked great in camp. Like, he looks like he's really kind of taken to this scheme. He's covered well. He's dropped into coverage. That athlete is there.
Even him speaking, he sounded more comfortable.
Yeah, and so, I mean, he'll get out there, and I think he's going to play well. It's just not going to be today.
Right. Unfortunately. The other guy in Trevor Penning, that's also disappointing just because you were looking forward to this guy hopefully making an adjustment to a new position where he was going to be of use to you. And now there's that question at left guard. Dylan Radins will probably step up into that role and
be your left guard
and how he's going to be doing. I know that he struggled with his time with the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, you know, what I'll say for Trevor's injury is the fortunate thing for the Saints is that it happened when it did and not, you know, for example, it happened in week one of the preseason, not week three of the preseason. And I talked to Kelvin Banks about this. We'll hear his interview later in the pregame show. But, like, what they've been able to do is at least have that continuity, right? So you're not just plugging Dylan Radins in now and saying, oh, hopefully we can get it done. You've seen him working with that group for a month. You've seen him in two full preseason games getting those left guard reps. And, I, you know, we can talk about how he played with the Titans all we want. I think he's been fine at left guard. I think he's looked solid. I'm not super concerned about him at left guard. You know, I'm a little concerned with how he and the rookie kind of combine together on some if the Cardinals come out and
Left side of the O-line's a little concerning.
Right. If the Cardinals come out and throw some complicated looks, some complicated stunts, how do they handle it? How do they pick it up? How do they communicate? But no, I actually think from an offensive line perspective, you know, losing Trevor is a bummer, and we'll see him at some point. He's progressing. He's out of the boot. I think he's getting closer. I think when he is back, he will get that job back. But he was a massive question mark at that position. Like, we weren't sure what he was going to look like. So it's not to say, like, it's even necessarily a downgrade, because we don't know what Trevor would have offered. So I actually think the offensive line is lower on my list of concerns. I think they'll pick things up, and we'll see. I think in the run game is where I have the biggest question, because I think Dylan and Kelvin have played well in the pass pro game. Teron Armstead had great things to say about Kelvin Banks in the pass pro game, but in the run blocking situation, I just don't know if we've seen the push you need to get. And if you can't run the ball, this offense is going to have a hard time.
And that's something we didn't see a whole lot of Alvin Kamara in the preseason. One snap.
Oh, he didn't like. Yeah, I thought he looked great on that one snap.
That one snap, he was awesome.
Yeah, you know, he didn't even. I knew he wasn't going to play much when he came out without the tape on the back of his arms, because it's like not even worth putting that on. But yeah, one snap. You know, it was a great snap though. He looked like he was in peak, you know, midseason form.
We know what Alvin can do. They know what Alvin can do.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they do.
We're here on the Caesars Sportsbook First Take. You can sound off 504-260-1870. Taking a break. We'll be right back with even more. Stay tuned right after this on WWL. Who dat, folks?
It's really the first 3 weeks of the season. Everyone's got a lot of unknown factors, and so it's kind of, you got to play really clean football the first few weeks of the season. You got to really focus on the fundamentals, trust your rules. There's going to be, you know, unfortunately some mistakes, and you got to play really clean football and give yourself a chance.
Saints head coach Kellen Moore talking about both unknowns for these teams coming into week one. There is a known now here as we continue on with our Caesar Sportsbook First Take. Adam Schefter with some late-breaking game day news, Jeff, that Kyler Murray's status for this game, he's appeared on the injury report this morning with an illness, doesn't have a game status designation, and will start, but definitely a QB under the weather. Maybe a little too much fun on Bourbon Street for Kyler.
Yeah, you know, you never know. Anytime you come into a game with an illness, I think you're happy to hear you're in a dome, right? Especially like week one in September, you don't want to be over in, you know, Jacksonville, right? Because I think the hydration is always the question there. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're just setting up his flu game.
Right.
You know, narrative.
You definitely worry about that always.
Yeah, because he's going to go out. Like, I don't think you could look at that and say, oh, man, you know, the Saints caught a break, because what's going to end up happening is he's going to play the best game of his life, and then that's going to be the conversation. But, no, I mean, that's a thing. Like, if you see him and he just looks – your fitness is not going to be there in week one. like we were just talking about. So if you're also dealing with
maybe the meds will make him a little drowsy.
I don't know, man, but yeah, maybe that'll help him keep him in the pocket. Because like Deuce was talking about yesterday on the show, like I need to make him a pocket passer. Yeah. I cannot afford to let him just run around and do his thing and run me ragged. Like if he goes 30 or 35, good job, man. Like you did it. But I need to force him to do that, and I need to force these wide receivers. Like Marvin Harrison's got all the talent in the world. He didn't really deliver last year, you know. But and I think that they're big wide receivers. They've got three wide receivers who are 6'2" or taller. You know, they're going to be a tough cover. I think that's where the Saints are going to struggle this year, is they don't really have that kind of physical outside man-to-man corner like they've had. Like last year they had Paulson and Debo and Marshawn Lattimore, two guys who I would qualify as the more physical corners in the league. They don't have that anymore. So are they going to kind of get bullied a little bit? We saw that in spurts with Cortland Sutton when he was playing against Kool-Aid. Like Kool-Aid had his moments, but then there were moments where it was like, oh, he can't cover Cortland Sutton. He's too big. So we'll see if that's the case today. But either way, like, I need to make Kyler beat me through the air. I can't allow Kyler to just extend drives with his legs constantly.
He can zip it, though.
Oh, he can throw it. He can, but I think his disadvantage is if you keep him in the pocket, he has a hard time seeing the throwing lanes. The same thing with Russell Wilson.
Let's hope for those batted passes. Like,
one of the reasons that he moves is not to run. It's to create lanes to throw.
Right.
And Russ was always the same way. Like, you didn't see Russ kind of running around trying to find running lanes. When they were there, he'd take them. But, like, he's trying to find viewing lanes. And if you keep him in the pocket, he might miss some reads. He might not get the ball to a wide open receiver because he can't see him. And that's just the disadvantage of being what I would guess is 5'8". You know, he's not a tall guy, even by quarterback standards. So we'll see how that goes.
Kellen Moore talking about this Arizona defense as he gets his quarterback ready, Spencer Rattler, for the week one start. Had some really glowing things to say about what Jonathan Gannon's done with Cardinals defense. Here's what Kellen Moore had to say.
Really challenging, because some of it feels like it's according to rules and some of it kind of feels like it breaks rules at times. And Jonathan and those guys have done an awesome job just developing a really, really innovative system that really stresses you from an offense perspective. They have a lot of pieces that can play a number of different roles. And so, you know, there's some gray. You know, I'd like to say there's a lot of gray within it, which, you know, can be challenging from an offense perspective.
A lot of gray in this defense, which is interesting for him to say. It's like sometimes it feels like are they doing things illegal?
No, that's not what
that's what I got out of it.
No. Rules in this context, it's not like rules as in, oh, they should be penalized for it. It is.
It just feels like.
No. It is, hey, we have rules. So if they do this, we do this. That's our rule, right? If they send a blitz off this side, this is how we pick it up. That's the rule. if this is what the running back does in this situation, this is what the running back does in this situation. And when you watch a defense long enough, you can pick up what their rules are. And it seems at times, like when he's saying that, he means more that at times it looks like Buda Baker is just out there doing whatever he wants to do, and it works because you can't plan for it, right? You can't say, oh, he's going to be here because this is how they defend this, because for whatever reason, we did it that before, and he was there, and this time he's there. That's what he means by breaking rules.
So
breaking
he doesn't think Arizona's doing shady things?
I don't think that's what he means, Steve. And that's why when Kellen talks about, hey, we're going to be playing adjustment football, it's because you have your own rules, and that's how you coach. And what if your rules don't work? What if you say, this is what we do when they do this, but it didn't work, and you have to adjust that rule on the fly and play something differently? That's what he means. And I think that happens because Buda Baker and the way the Cardinals use their secondary, and they allow them to kind of roam. So they are in spots you don't expect. And you have to kind of adjust for that, especially with a young quarterback. They disguise a ton of coverages. They roll into stuff late. They show you a look pre-snap, and then post-snap they're doing something completely different. And so that's why it's hard to account for what they're going to be doing, because it seems like they have 10 different things they can do out of every defensive alignment. And that's a tough thing to game plan against. So that's what he means.
And I know they beefed up their defense going into this year as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the defensive line is interesting. I mean, Darius Robinson, he was a draft pick last year. He only played in 6 games. But, I mean, I remember watching him at the Senior Bowl last year, and I went away being like, man, if the Saints can get their hands on this guy. Because he's kind of that 4-3 defensive end. He wouldn't really fit the system they have now. But he is that just space heater. He's huge. And he's big. He's athletic. So Now, Calais Campbell's 39 years old. He was here last year for the Cardinals. I say here. He was there last year. But he's 39 years old. That's crazy. He makes Cam Jordan look like a spring chicken.
He's fun to hear over there, speak as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's still in the league for the same reason Cam is still in the league. Like, is he playing at his peak? Probably not. But he understands the game so well, and he's a leader that teams will keep him around as long as he's willing to stay around. You know, and we'll see how they deploy those guys. But, no, they're going to be a tough team to run against, no question.
Looking at this Saints offense led by Spencer Rattler going into the season, the black and gold we know were 0-6 when Spencer started a year ago. Not really fair looking at the talent that he was surrounded by with offensive line, wide receiver, tight end. You go on and on, all the injury issues with this team. But Kellen Moore talked about going with Spencer Rattler as his starting QB for week one of this year.
His ability to make really good decisions, whether it be with his feet or with, you know, just finding an outlet, finding a check down. You know, I thought he had some really good ones that showed up in the preseason games where, you know, he's looking one way and he realized that maybe I should have gone the other way. He finds the check down. He finds, you know, Kendre over the ball, completion, and it's another first down. And we just keep on moving. I think that's the big part of playing quarterback is, you know, you're going to make a mistake. They're going to disguise something and something's going to look a little different after the snap. And so you just got to react to it.
Yeah, looking at Spencer Rattler going into this game, I'm sure he is anxious to put all those bugaboos behind him from a year ago, all the talk about how he's 0-6 as a starting quarterback in the NFL, and it's nice to have that accoutrement of weapons now around you, at least not going into the season with so many injuries.
It's a nice use of accoutrement. I like that. That's one of my favorite words. I think if you're Spencer, like, you look at last year, and like, yeah, you won 0-6, but this game just doesn't feel like, oh, it's your seventh start in the NFL. Like, no, this feels like a fresh start in the NFL because, let's face it, like, last year, yes, he got on the field, and every young quarterback's like, man, I can't wait to get on the field. But at some level, it's got to be, not like this, you know? Like, I'm set up to fail here, and you take experience as experience.
But right, that's why I'm out here with the practice squad.
Yeah, and that's why you look – I'm out here with guys who literally just got signed off the street 2 days ago,
yeah.
Right? And that's why you have to grade it as kind of an incomplete. Like, yes, there's data points you can take out of that. There's analysis you can make of how you played, where you need to be better, what you struggled with, what you succeeded with. But at the end of the day, you don't know what things would have looked like in it with a full allotment of weapons. Like, some of these drops, are they going to happen with Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed out there? Some of these sacks, are they going to happen if you have receivers who you can trust to get open? Are you able to run the ball more effectively if you have Alvin Kamara, if you have Kendre Miller, if you have your offensive line?
Have Eric McCoy,
does
right?
Does that make your life easier as a quarterback? Absolutely. But you still have to go out there and deliver. So you can't look at this. You can't look at it and say, like, I have no concerns over what happened, but I need to see him have improved. And I think where you've seen him improve this year over last year is he's more confident in getting the ball out of his hand. Like, he's more confident in what he's seeing. He's trusting his reads. And when he doesn't trust his read, when he doesn't like what he's seeing, he is pulling the ball down and running and getting positive gains on first down, second down. Like, you can't do that every time, but I will take a +3 over a sack any day of the week. I don't need a +15. I need a positive play. I need to be in – I'll take 2nd and 8. I just can't be in 2nd and 15.
Right?
I'll take 3rd and 5. I'll take 3rd and 6. I can't be in 3rd and 15. I can't live in 3rd and long because you just – this is not going to be the type of offense that gets behind the chains and just continues. Like, if you get behind the chains in this offense, you're not going to have success. So, you know, you need to play well. You need Spencer to play well. You also need to play – on point. You can't afford penalties. You can't afford false starts, holding. Like, you got to take advantage of the opportunities that are there. And if Spencer can play that way, I think he keeps this job, right? Like, I think one of the big reasons that he has the job is that he's played that way throughout camp and the preseason. And he's been the guy that you feel like is more consistent and is going to be able to keep you in front of the chains and play on schedule. If he doesn't play that way, he's not going to keep the job very long. Like, if the coaches don't feel like he's playing the way that they need him to play, you're going to look at the rookie and say, hey, can you play that way? But for now, this is his opportunity to go out there, and, like, the reins are going to be on. This is not a, oh, we're taking him off, you're going. Like, no, they're going to ask you to play a very specific way, and his job is to go out there and execute that.
You mentioned basically a fresh start for Spencer Rattler. Hopefully we're seeing a fresh start for a guy in running back Kendre Miller. Kellen Moore was asked the impressions of Miller after we know there were some past issues with the previous head coach.
I just thought he was a really consistent person, consistent player each and every day. And so, you know, I don't know whatever happened. He's done an excellent job. He ran the football really, really hard. I thought the things that showed up was his ability to catch the ball in the pass game. I thought he had some good examples of that. And then the protection was a big part, I thought, where he took a big growth step, just as far as his ability and consistency in the protection game. You know, that's a mentally straining position, you know, when you're at running back, to be able to handle all those moving pieces. And so, yeah, he's done an awesome job.
Definitely an awesome job so far. The big one of staying healthy, obviously, that's the key.
Yeah, I mean, like, think of it this way. Like, when's the last time you felt like the Saints had a legitimate 1-2 punch at the running back position? Was it Latavius Murray?
Yeah, I was just going to go there, right?
Was it 2020 with Latavius Murray? Because you just haven't had that. I mean, they brought Mark Ingram back. Like, they've been trying to find that guy. They drafted Kendre Miller thinking he could be that guy. They didn't draft Kendre necessarily to replace Alvin.
As a supplement, right?
They drafted him to play with Alvin. And then, yeah, maybe someday down the road when Alvin is done and you can you flip that over and you say, hey, Kendre's the guy and we're finding someone to supplement him with. But, like, that's where you brought him in to be. And so if he can be that, this offense – makes a lot more sense, right? Because you can't ask Alvin at 30 years old to play 80% of the snaps. You can't ask him to pound his head against a wall 15 times a game. And the reason you've had to do that is because you haven't had someone you trusted behind him, right? Like, I mean, they've been given meaningful reps to Tony Jones and, yep, and guys over the last few years. It's like, oh, man, you're signing Clyde Edwards-Helaire off the street and saying maybe he has something. No, I mean, you need Kendre to be that asset that you thought he was, and you brought him in the third round. He's healthy. And that's the biggest part, is he's been healthy throughout camp. He was able to participate in the whole program. You know, he's comfortable in the offense because he's gotten the work in. And so hopefully that translates to the field today. I think it will. I have high expectations for Kendre.
Yeah, I don't think that the rushing talent is a question with Kendre Miller. Definitely the injury history and not being able to stay on the field. And then there's also the fact of what are you able to do also to help out with the blocking?
Yeah, there's been some execution issues too. Like, I don't think the protection has necessarily been a huge issue, but, you know, it's just mistakes. In, like, when he gets to the spot he's supposed to be, he makes the play. It's just been sometimes it seems like he misses calls and doesn't get to the spot he needs to get to, and then something falls apart. Green Bay last year, like, there was a good example of that. Like, he got taken out of the game because he just messed up a couple calls, and I think that was in part because he just wasn't familiar. Like, he just hadn't gotten enough work in because of all the injuries. So hopefully that's not something and Deuce will be right on it. Like, listen to Deuce, because when Kendre messes something up, he'll be right there, you know, because he knows what the running backs are supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And there's been instances this year, in preseason already, where, you know, we're blaming the offensive line for blowing a protection, and it was like, I think the running back's supposed to get over there and make that play, and he just didn't get there. So hopefully that's the type of stuff that we don't see as much this year. And again, for the Saints to win games, they're going to have to play clean football. Like, they're not going to be able to make mistakes like that and come back for them. So we'll see. Hopefully he can make turn a corner in that regard.
Saints game day's back again, folks. Caesar Sportsbook First Take rolling on. I want to remind everybody, Venture Global is donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Taking a break. We'll be back more of a Caesar Sportsbook First Take right after this. Stay tuned here on WWL. Who dat, folks?
Yeah, definitely a little different, you know, obviously more prepared, you know, been able to work with these guys all throughout camp and OTA. So it's been real beneficial for me. And I mean, we're excited to get out there and show the world what we got.
Welcome back into WWL Caesar Sportsbook First Take, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. That was quarterback Spencer Rattler talking about that difference of week one this year for him going into this game, knowing you're the starting quarterback,
yeah.
Kind of not just waiting in the wings after, you know, having Derek Carr be your QB1 at the start of last year, not really working with the ones in training camp leading into this game. But, you know, he got those reps and knows he's the guy right now, and it's his job to hold on to at this point.
Yeah, I think for Spencer, one of the benefits of how this camp has gone is, like, last year when you got in the game, it was not an offense that was built to your strengths at all.
No.
Like, it was an offense that was built for Derek Carr, and then you got into it. I'm sure they maybe tailored some calls, maybe tailored some game plans to what he did well, but it was on the fly at best. This year, it's like, hey, you know, yeah, I'm sure there's stuff that was kind of installed throughout camp where, okay, this is something that we like for Tyler. Like, Tyler had a lot more of the QB run game. you know, whereas you didn't see as much of that with Spencer. Because I think that's just something that helped Tyler settle in, and it's just not, you know, I don't think that's, I think Spencer is more of a scrambler than a kind of read option quarterback. And so just stuff like that, like there's going to be elements of this game plan that I think are there because he runs them well. And that just wasn't going to be the case last year. Now, one thing that Kellen and Spencer both talked about is like this has been collaborative, right? Like when you're a rookie in the NFL, I think there's a natural tendency to just be a yes man, to be like, okay, can you do this? Yep, I can do it. Okay, does this work for you? Yep. You know, you're trying to just not lose the job.
Exactly. Right? Whatever you need me to do.
In this case, I think he's a lot more confident in being like, I just don't like this read. Like, this doesn't work for me. And you might talk through that and be like, sure, well, we have to do this because of this and this and that. But like those conversations, that collaboration has to happen. And, you know, maybe he feels a little bit more comfortable because it's a first year head coach, because, you know, Kellen Moore, like, he was here before Kellen Moore. He knew he could show Kellen Moore around the building.
Right.
You know, so, you know, maybe that helps. And I do think we've seen him at confident Spencer Rattler. Now, is his ceiling high enough? We're going to find out. I don't know. Like, he kind of strikes me as a backup, an NFL backup, right? Like, and we'll see if maybe he does have more to offer than that. But, you know, it's a tough situation for the Saints to be in, because you just, like, you're committing to a guy right now that you don't know what his long-term outlook is. And, you know, what he does today might not be what he does in week 6 and week 12, and you can't overreact to that. But I don't know how long his leash is going to be. And how long are you going to let it ride out? So there's pressure on Spencer to deliver right away. It's a tough spot to be in for a quarterback, for any quarterback.
Well, yeah, because you have a second-round pick that was just taken, you know, breathing down your neck, even though we've heard Coach Kellen Moore say that, you know, it's not going to be one of those situations here where the one guy's looking over his shoulder thinking he's going to get yanked.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and that's the right thing to say. and to their credit, I don't think it's like, hey, we have Spencer here and week 6 is where we're going to change. Week 12 is where we're going to, like.
Right, but if things aren't working. And
that doesn't mean that the results and how things go will not change that throughout the course of the season, right? And and whether you're prepared to do that, whether you're forced to do that, is two kind of different things. But the result is the same. And, you know, I don't think the, like, wins and losses will necessarily be the reason you make a switch. But if you make a switch, it'll be, is the quarterback the reason? If you're losing games, is it because of the quarterback? Is it because of bad turnovers? Is it because of spotty execution? Is it because of missed reads, right? If that's the case, then I think you make a change. If you're losing games because, you know, the defense isn't stopping anybody and, you know, you're allowing 40 points, and it's like, yeah, that's not on the quarterback. So I think there is some nuance that goes into it. But, you know, all Spencer can do is go out there and play well and execute the plan. And if that's not enough, it's not enough.
One thing's for sure, the Saints have a new tall target for this offense, whoever's at the helm at quarterback. Spencer Rattler talked about working with Devon Vellet.
I think you got it.
I know
Vellet.
He's done great. I mean, he's super smart, super reliable. For him to come in and already know, you know, our install for this week is pretty impressive. So he's been great. I feel like we're starting to get some chemistry down, and want to continue to build that, you know, before the game.
How helpful is that for you guys just to have, like, for you to have a big target like that, third down, red zone, stuff like that?
Very helpful. You know, having a guy like that, you know, can go catch the ball at a high point and, you know, fight through contact and stuff like that. And we got other guys that can do that as well. But, you know, with his frame, I think he's going to be very useful for our offense.
Devon Vellet, 6'5", 210 pounds, wide receiver they acquired from the Denver Broncos. Curious to see how much he's involved still with this offense. Came very late in the process here, so not sure how comfortable or how, you know, up to speed he is with this offense right now. I'm sure there's going to be certain packages, especially in the red zone for him.
Yeah, red zone, third down. Yeah. I think that's what you're going to focus on. And, I'm curious, you know, I think the question's more so, how many snaps is he in on? How many packages do you have installed for him? And, you know, the version of Devon that we see this week is not going to be the version that we necessarily see.
Agreed, yeah.
Throughout his whole tenure here. And remember, like, one of the reasons that I was okay with this trade, and I know a lot of people freaked out about the draft pick they sent and the age, he's 27, is he's under contract for 3 more years. So if he goes out there and isn't a factor in today's game, like, that's not the end of the world. You're going to keep building. And I will tell you, like, anytime, you talk to a quarterback and they're just like, yeah, I love having those tall guys. Because you're able to just throw balls that you couldn't throw otherwise. Like, when's the last time the Saints had a legitimate contested catch receiver?
Jimmy Graham.
I would say Michael Thomas, but okay, fine, Jimmy Graham. Like you haven't had a guy that you felt comfortable just throwing the ball up to in a couple of years now, and not that you don't trust those receivers, just that's not the best part of their game. You have smaller guys.
So hoping Juwan could be more of that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about receiver.
Like, I got you.
Yeah, you can add tight ends.
No, receiver-wise, it feels like it's been a while since we've had that big, tall,
right, guys who play on the outside.
Guy, right.
Guys you can just put on the outside, send everyone to the other side, and say, we're going to one-on-one matchup, we're going to test it, and we're going to win it.
Little Jordan Humphrey.
maybe. That might be the right answer.
Taking a break here on the Caesar Sportsbook First Take. We'll be back with even more as we get ready for game day, a noon kickoff in the Dome. Cardinals, Saints, wear your gold, folks, as well. They're going to be sporting their new gold jerseys today. I got my old school Deuce McAllister on right now. Taking a break here on our First Take show. Be back with even more as we get ready for kickoff on WWL. Who dat? Closing out our first hour of the Caesar Sportsbook First Take, we are here on WWL, getting ready for the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff when the Cajun Cannon will join us at 10 a.m. From the Countdown to Kickoff, that'll lead right into game time. Way atop the Superdome in the WWL booth. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister on the call, bringing you all the action of Saints versus Cardinals. That noon start in the Caesar Superdome of Week 1. And all the NFC South opponents are early starts this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I don't know. Like, you get used to these noon starts, people. That's all I have to say. There's a lot of them. We do have some afternoon starts, too, but I don't know. Like, I think, as Devon Gotcha put it, like, there's going to be some parties at noon in the Superdome.
Still waking up from that late night of LSU, but we'll be back with even more First Take, so stay tuned right after this on WWL. Who dat, folks? Yes, indeed, back here on the Caesar Sportsbook First Take. Welcome back in Caesar Sportsbook First Take, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. The location right now, Loge Level, Gapey Atrium, getting ready for the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon coming up at 10 a.m. and then that noon kickoff between the Saints and Arizona Cardinals right here on WWL Saints Radio, 105.3 FM, 870 AM, and, of course, the free Odyssey app. Gearing up this game one, we've been definitely looking forward to seeing some Saints action, you know, getting through the preseason. And thankfully, I felt like, at least, Jeff, it went by pretty quick. The three games, definitely a blessing, and looking forward to eventually getting down to two preseason matchups.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. It's always I feel like a kid on Christmas morning when the season starts, and like you wait, I wait all, you know, all off season. I'm like, it's gonna get here, it's gonna, and then it shows up, and it's like drinking through a fire hose, you know. But I'm excited. Like, we got a sneak peek at the intro video. They were playing it when I was walking in, and it was nice. I think people are gonna enjoy it.
And we heard too, Manny Fresh warming up for, he's gonna be doing the halftime action here, so looking forward to seeing his set list.
Yeah, and let's not forget Teron Armstead out here, going to be leading the Who Dat
Saints chant. Legend of the game.
Saints legend of the game, and you know, he talked to the media the other day, and he's so impressive as a person. Like, you hear him talking, it's like he could be a motivational speaker, he could be a coach, he could be whatever he wants to be.
Could be a rapper. Oh, he is.
He is a rapper, right? T-Stead, baby. I miss. They should still play his songs in the locker room, I'm just saying. But no, I mean, he got a chance to sit down and talk with Kelvin Banks, and I was talking to Kelvin Banks in the locker room, and you know, I was like, hey, he's got a chance to sit down with Teron. He was like, oh man, yeah. And like, I was like, yeah, it's not a terrible person to be compared to, but be prepared, Dick. You're gonna be compared to Teron Armstead. Like, it's inevitable. You don't have a choice, so you better play well. Because that's a tough comparison. That's a tough guy to live up to.
I heard him say, too, what was it? Sean Payton's already offered him a job anytime he wants?
Yeah, that's what Teron said, because he was asked, hey, you might get into coaching, and he said, no, the hours.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I don't blame him.
I'm great. You know, I'm
flattered. I like my life.
Flattered, Sean, but H to the E-L-L, no. I cannot work with you. Because Sean's not an easy guy to work with. Like, he's a great coach.
But very demanding.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's – and there's something to be said for that. Like, a pleasant work environment is not always conducive to effective NFL coaching.
Yeah, I want to stay friends.
Well, right. Like, you don't want to be friends with your boss. You want your boss to be your boss. I mean, I guess maybe you do want to be friends with your boss, but not if you want the work to get done. Teron, he said, like, that he met with a team doctor after week one last year. They're like, you got to get that knee replaced. And he was just like, oh. And then he played 15 more games.
Right.
Like, I'll get it replaced when I get it replaced. But no, I missed the days when the Saints had Teron at left tackle, Ryan Ramczyk at right tackle, and you could just set it and forget it. Like, you knew that those two guys were going to get the job done, and it made everything so much easier. And
well,
so
hopefully we got that new version
exactly
now.
And that's what you're hoping for Kelvin and Tally. You know, you hope you can just have one name for those guys, right? Like Teron and Ramczyk, you have Kelvin and Tally. Let's do that.
Looking at one of the big differences for this team going into the year, Phil Galliano, the special teams coordinator. We know Darren Rizzi, now also in Denver. He had that position here as well as the interim head coaching job. But Galliano comes in. I guess you could say it's a fresh face, but he's been around the block in this organization as well.
I mean, it's one of the only non-fresh faces. Steve, he's one of the few guys, like he and Keith Williams. You know, you have Dan Rochard, or not Dan Rochard, Brendan Nugent, the other offensive line coach, coming back.
Running backs coach is back.
Joel Thomas is back after a year with the Giants. But, yeah, Phil Galliano, like there's a reason they kept him around. It's because they thought he did a great job. You know, he filled in as a special teams coordinator when Darren Rizzi was elevated to the interim head coach role, and you know he's had a, you know, I think special teams is an area of that you just need it to be consistent. Like, you don't need it to be elite.
Yeah,
you would like it to be elite, but you do need it to be a situation where you're not losing games because of special teams. Like, you're not giving away an advantage because you can't cover, because you can't make kicks, because you can't return kicks and make it a positive outcome. So I think that's where they want.
And it's been an area that was strong under Rizzi, and we're hoping can continue with a guy like Galliano.
Exactly. So you're looking at the consistency, and you know, I'm curious how they handle the return game. You know, Phil was asked about that, and I think we have that clip queued up.
Yeah, talking about the importance of different types of kickoffs.
Yeah, I think it has to be, right? I think if all these kickoff returns are going to be returned because you're not just going to put it into the end zone, then you have to be able to have different kicks so that the kick return team doesn't know where the ball is going every time, right? So you have to be able to change it up, and the execution's key. Like, if we want to say we're going to kick one to the deep right, and all of a sudden now the ball is maybe in the middle or goes off to the left, your coverage changes, right? So that can put our coverage players in a little bit of a disadvantage, and so it's important that those guys are as accurate as they can be.
One thing for me, Jeff, in the early goings of games, it's in this regular season, seeing, you know, a touchback coming out to the 35-yard line,
it's a big difference.
Wild.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's data that shows, like, hey, if you start a drive at the 35 or further up, it's like you're talking about a 50-50 chance to score on that drive.
Yeah.
You only need two first downs, and you're in field goal range with how far these kickers can make it from. So, no, I mean, like, the Saints, and I think there's going to be some teams in the league that just say, hey, we don't trust our kicker. We're just going to kick it into the end zone. We don't trust our coverage. But that's a disadvantage. If you're giving away the 35-yard line when the 20 is right there, right? Like, force them to execute a return. Because it's amazing to me how many times the return gets to exactly the 35-yard line. But no, and what the kind of context of that question is, you know, I think what's going to end up being a thing, like, we're going to talk about kickers, and every kicker, it seems like now, every starting kicker can make it from 55 and out pretty consistently. Some guys can make it from 65 and out consistently. But I think one of the differentiating factors in, like, okay, what makes an elite kicker versus what makes, like, a good field goal guy is, hey, can you make all these different kicks on the kickoff? Like, it matters now. Because, you know, if you're able to consistently force them to field a kick and that they cannot get back past the 20-yard line, or that they have to handle and maybe mess up, like, that's an advantage. And you have to be able to make a lot of different kicks, but also do it consistently. Like, when they say, hey, we want to kick it here, and you kick it somewhere else, like, that puts the coverage in a bad situation. And so watch how Blake kicks off. And I was really impressed with him in the final preseason game, because he had, like, three kicks in a row that he was able to just bounce and get that, like, high second bounce, and the returner had to just stand there and wait on it, which must have felt like an eternity, because the second that ball bounces, the coverage can move.
Right.
So if that's, to me, that's the best kick you can make, is a kick that kind of checks up and just floats in the air. And he was able to do it, like, two or three times in a row. And, you know, that's going to be the difference.
There is a skill to that.
No, there absolutely is. I see people say, why don't they just teach a safety to kick it off? It's not that far. Because you need them to be able to do it consistently, exactly the way you ask them to do it. And Blake's able to do that. So I think that's one of the kind of nuances of the kicker position that's going to be developed over the next few years with these new rules.
one of the stalwarts of these special teams unit, JT Gray, not a part of the team anymore, yeah. Which feels a little weird. I remember seeing the tweet from Alvin Kamara going, just WTF, when we found out the Saints were moving on from Gray, who is now part of the Baltimore Ravens organization.
Yeah, yeah, and I think we have a bite from Galliano on that as well. And to me, that's like, it's more of a statement on, hey, we have some young players we want to play than anything
right.
else, and Phil kind of talked about that.
Here's Galliano talking about JT Gray.
I do. I think that, you know, I think what you said, the key word is we have some young guys, right? And so the best experience that they can get is going out there and playing. But from what they've shown in practice in the preseason and college film, you know, like, I'm excited about a group of young players that I think we can be really, really good. And, you know, you've seen flashes of it in the preseason, and they're part of the reason why they were drafted. They're part of the reason why they made the 53 with that big picture plan in mind. I think we do have a chance to, you know, whether it's Jonas or Stutzman or some of those younger players that we've drafted. I think the other thing that's helped us is we brought in a couple quality veterans between Terrell Burgess and Chris Rumpf and Jack Stoll, who have played special teams in this league, and they bring a calming presence to some of these young guys. So it's a good mix, and, you know, I'm really excited to get a chance to go out there and let them play.
You know, just mentioning, you know, some of the young guys, it is going to be curious to see who ends up, you know, stepping up in that gunner role that JT Gray was so great at.
Yeah, and I think, like, the JT Gray spot on the roster became kind of not superfluous, that's not a good word for it, but expendable when you decided to keep an Isaiah Stallbird and some of these younger players and a Rajon Wright. Like, if you're going to keep them on the roster, they got to play. Right, like, you can't just have young guys on the roster and say, yeah, but we have veterans who are going to – like, you need to develop young players in those roles. And I think Stallbird – we're going to hear from Stallbird later in the show. And, you know, I think his emergence as a core special teamer is a big reason why you're able to say, hey, you know, we want to play these young guys.
Plus, Gray wasn't necessarily healthy either.
He was healthy. The injury – I mean, maybe he wasn't able to contribute as much as you would have normally seen if he did deal with a hamstring injury. But
right.
That's not the reason he was cut.
So, yeah, just it seemed curious to me that you would get rid of a guy that was an all-pro for you and the leader, a team captain as well.
Well, again, it's about understanding where this team is and the fact that they need to develop young players. Like, you've lost the luxury of being able to say, hey, we're going to spend a little bit more at these positions to make sure we have a veteran at all these key spots. When you are in the position the Saints are in, you have to develop those young guys so that when you have that core group where you feel like you can win with,
yeah,
you can roll with those guys. And, yeah, maybe you take your lumps in the interim as you figure it out, but you just got to – like, you want to see what you have from those young players, and the only way to do that is to play them.
Another one we're curious to see how he gets used, Rashid Shaheed in the return game. Phil Galliano also talked about that.
Yeah, I think that it's just ongoing conversations that you have amongst the staff, right? And I think it's – we all want to get our best players to have the ball in their hands because they have a chance to score, and ultimately you're going to win the games when you score the most points. So I think strategically, whether it's offense or special teams, is, you know, how can we get the ball in Sheed's hands because he's one of our better playmakers. So fortunately for us, I think we've done a very good job from a kick return standpoint. If we have some other guys that I think they can score when they touch the ball as well. So we're able to kind of be selective, and, you know, maybe she's not on every kick return. Maybe it's in certain situations that we may want to use them. And I kind of look at that like you're going to look at the offense and defensive players as well. In certain situations, you're going to have certain people on the field of what you're trying to accomplish. And so it's just open communication, you know, amongst the staff and having a plan to go with it.
How much is injury risk way into that?
Yeah, look, I think that's a good question. I don't know. I'm not one that really buys into too much of the injury fear, right? You're either have a helmet and you're playing on game day, or you're not, you know? And so, and our players are competitors too. So if a player says that, I know I can do this and I can help our team win, and I say to him, no, you're not going to do that because I'm scared you're going to get hurt, that doesn't send the right message from a coaching standpoint, and the player doesn't want to hear that either. We go and there's an injury risk and it's an unfortunate, and we try to do our best to eliminate injuries, but players want to go play and compete.
Phil Galliano talking about the usage of Rashid Shaheed there, and while I understand that, there is a certain aspect to it where you don't want to, I guess, enhance the chances of him getting hurt.
Yeah, I think it's a situation in kickoffs. I think you're going to look at somebody else. I think you're going to see Velus Jones and, you know, maybe Kendre Miller back there. I like the idea of running backs in the kick return part of the game, especially because you want to get Velus Jones on the field. I think punt return, in plus punt return situations, I think Rashid is the guy you want out there. In situations where you just want to field the kick and get the ball to your offense, I think you probably throw an Ugo Amadi out there. But, yeah, I just you're not going to take him out of that part of the game entirely. Because, if they're punting off their own end line, I want Rashid out there because he's going to get an opportunity to make a return and make it count. Late in the game, if I'm desperate and I need a big return on a kickoff, I'll probably throw him back out there and see if he can get the job done. But I don't want that to be 100% of the time because you have players. And I think this team has a luxury of having several plus return guys that, you know, I want Rashid to be involved. I want him to have the ball in his hands when he has an opportunity to make a play. And to give him those opportunities, but I just don't want to make him my full-time returner if I don't have to.
We're taking a break here on our Caesar Sportsbook First Take. When we get back, we'll hear a one-on-one interview Jeff had with one of those special teamers in Isaiah Stallbird. So stay tuned right here on WWL Saints Radio. Be back after the break. Welcome back into WWL and the Caesar Sportsbook First Take, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Want to get into our one-on-one interview Jeff had with Isaiah Stallbird, Saints linebacker and special teamer, as we get ready for week one against the Arizona Cardinals. Let's hear what Jeff and Stallbird had to say.
Jeff Nowak here with Isaiah Stallbird. Now, first of all, congrats on making the 53. And I know you got up to the roster last year. You played in some games, but how cool was that to just, you know, make the 53 out of camp? It's obviously a ton of work, a long kind of slog. Just what was that moment like for you?
And it was just cool to see, like, the whole process, like, coming in, learning the defense, like, a little rough at first, getting everything down, but then to see my growth and have it, you know, come to life in preseason games and practice and be able to gain the coach's trust to earn more opportunities and then, like you're saying, end up on the 53, man. It's a blessing, so it's pretty cool.
You know, when I watch you play, one of the things that stands out to me is the speed. Yeah, you just seem like you're moving at an extra gear out there. I know you played safety before converting to linebacker in college. Is that a part of your game that you kind of emphasize, is just playing fast out there?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And like I was saying, too, everything's getting more clear, so, you know, you can play more free, don't have to in terms think as much. And that's a credit to Coach Staley, Coach Pete, our linebackers coach, you know, everything they're coaching us, getting the system down. And you can go, I mean, not just me, but I feel like you can see it with a bunch of other guys on the defense. Like, I feel like we're just playing a lot faster because we have those repetitions, that belief. So, I definitely like to say, like, to have it as an emphasis. I mean, being able to put on weight, like, keep my speed and showcase that, so.
Yeah, obviously, you know, JT getting let go is a tough thing for the special teams group. But do you kind of look at that as kind of an endorsement of the group in the room, that the kind of a vote of confidence in the guys to go out there and kind of take over those kind of leadership roles?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely sucked. Like, because JT is, like, obviously not only great for the team, but a great teammate, great for the locker room. But, I mean, that's above my pay grade. But yeah, like you're saying, I think it's also a test to, like, them believing in the group we have for the core four and everything like that. So, I mean, honestly, like, we're all young. So, I mean, it's going to be, like, we have potential to be really one of the top groups, I think, special teams-wise, in the league. But we just got to capitalize on our opportunities. And there's going to be learning experiences. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like as an overall, yeah, there could be a big room of improvement and some guys that make some jumps, like you're saying, to take over those leadership roles. And, you know, it'll be fun. It'll be interesting. I mean, I feel like we've already played with a great juice, so we have preseason, and then now we get to the season, we're just going to keep it rolling. So,
yeah, you, Danny, and Jalen, some young guys out there. Is that kind of a fun competition to have between y'all?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, get out of here. No, it's definitely fun because, like, I feel like we're pretty tight as a group, too, so we like to push each other. And, like, it doesn't matter who's making the plays. Like, we're all happy for each other. So, no, I love my LB room, my coaches, so I can't complain. I just hate when a Christian boy don't listen to the call and go the wrong way.
Agreed. But right, one more. You know, you're going to go out there. What's something that fans should know about you as a person? They're going to watch you as a player. Like, give me some inside baseball here.
Oh, that's tough. I don't know. I feel like I'm pretty simple. I mean, I feel like when we ain't in football, have an off day, y'all can catch me fishing down in Jean Lafitte when the harbor's out there, y'all can catch me by this net. I'll be fishing out there. So y'all see a person fishing by themselves when we're not playing football, it's probably me. Other than that, like, I just like to go out to all the local restaurants. I'm a big foodie, so I'm always like eating food somewhere. But other than that, like, I'll just be hanging out at the house.
What do you fish for?
Anything.
Anything?
Yeah, anything. It's just fun, relaxing. Like, yeah. I like being outside, so... So hopefully, maybe in the near future, I can get a little John boat so I can go out in the bayou a little bit and just be out there instead of off the bank or something. So,
gotcha. I bet Landon would join you. Landon seems like a fish guy.
Yeah, I bet Lando's got some more spots. But it's cool, man. Like, being out doing that, I met so many local people that have told me, hey, you should go check out this spot. And like, I'll go out there, like, you know, true to the word, like, the fishing's good, or like, go check out this restaurant too. So that's why I've had good experiences with people in New Orleans. Like, I always kind of had an idea because one of my best friends, they moved out the hurricane around the time of the hurricane, and they always told me about the culture here. Big fans of Saints and LSU, so I kind of had an idea coming in, but it's different once you get here. So, and I love it, like, especially the hospitality. It reminds me of the Midwest in the way, like, where I'm from. Like, people looking out for each other and stuff like that. So, and just very nice. So, I can't complain.
Gotcha. I appreciate it, man. Good luck out there.
Hey, appreciate you. Thank you.
That was Jeff Nowak with Saints linebacker and special team Isaiah Stallbird. And, boy, he talked about football, food, and fishing. He fits in perfectly here.
He's a bayou boy. He fits right in. I will say, just for context, he wasn't just throwing strays at Christian Boyd. Christian was standing there over my shoulder, giving him a hard time. So, in case you're wondering, you're like, yeah, it's – Christian's a jokester in there. But I think Stallbird, you know, that was what I told him after our interview. Like, I always think it's pretty cool when, you know, because there's a ton of UDFAs every year. Like, guys show up. You don't know if they're going to stick around. We spend a lot of time talking about them in training camp, and then they're gone, never to be heard from again. So it's always cool when a guy, he's a UDFA, he comes back year two, you know, and he just kind of wins a role in camp, right? And suddenly he's a member of this roster. Like, that's JT Gray. Like, why are we talking about JT Gray? He's like, I can't believe they cut JT Gray. Well, he showed up in 2018, maybe it was 2019, as a UDFA out of Mississippi State. You know, the Saints have always had a kind of a culture of special teams aces, like a Justin Hardy or Chris Banjo. Well, that's how you become one. You show up, you play hard, you play well, and then you win a role and you own it. And so I think he's a guy that over the next few years we're going to be talking about as, oh, he's the new special teams ace that you rely on.
That's one thing when seeing Stallbird in action on the field, I feel like I need to hear Metallica in the background. Seek and destroy.
Yeah, he's big. Like, so he came up as a safety at South Dakota State, and then he transferred, or he didn't transfer, but he converted to linebacker in his final year in college. So he's a linebacker, but he's got a safety pedigree, right? So he's fast. He can move. He can cover. And I think that kind of combination is really helpful in this new era of special teams where, yes, you need a guy who can play in punt coverage, but you also need someone you can throw on the field and have him run and make a tackle on kickoffs. And I think he can do both of those things. And I think that's one of the reasons, like, I think he's a little better suited for what the Saints need out of that special teams role than maybe a JT Gray, who was really kind of a punt guy.
Yeah. Looking at our Caesar Sportsbook First Take rolling on. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll dip into some audio from our professor, Deuce McAllister, giving us a little lesson on the black and gold. Stay tuned right after this. We'll be back with more First Take after the break here on WWL. Welcome back into WWL and the Caesar Sportsbook First Take, an official sports betting partner of the Saints, hearing some Manny Fresh coming back from the break. Thank you, Coleman. He will be performing halftime live here in the Caesar Superdome. Looking forward to that and curious to see what his set list is going to be like. Heard a little bit of the action going on as we were, you know, doing our pregame show of him warming up here.
I have no expectations. I'm just going to let it happen to me.
Enjoy the flow.
Yes. Yes.
Getting back into talking about today's game against the Arizona Cardinals. Saints color analyst Deuce McAllister was on Sports Talk early in the week, gave some insights about this black and gold bunch as they get ready for week one. Let's hear from Deuce talking about what he'd like to see from this Saints offense.
I think it'll be a lot of Alvin running and catching, but I do feel like that they have some other weapons. I mean, the question is, can you get Alvin in space, and can you get those other weapons in space? And so the opportunities will be there, but, you know, the one thing that you see when you go back and look at the film from this preseason, this team can be explosive. My question for this team is, can you go 10-plus plays and be able to punch it into the end zone? Because you've shown that you can pick up yardage But you've also shown that you will have a mistake, whether it's a turnover, whether it's a penalty, whether it's instead of being second and short, I have a penalty that negates that first down, and it puts me back at second and 20 or second and 15, and now I can't overcome that. And I end up having to either punt or kick a long field goal. For this team to get to where it wants to go, they've got to hit on explosive plays. And all of them don't have to be. I mean, hey, it's great to have plus 40 type plays. But if they can hit on, and I haven't put a number out there as far as runs and passes to have explosive plays, but there has to be a number. There has to be a number of explosive plays of plus 15 or plus 20. There has to be a number of explosive runs of plus 10, plus 20 for this team to be successful, because very few games will you be able to win by kicking 4 to 5 field goals and no touchdowns.
Deuce McAllister talking about this Saints offense, and that was something that was most concerning that we saw from training camp practices and even in the preseason, just the drives, being able to get the yardage, but then kind of stalling when you got closer to the red zone.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. Like, I get what Deuce is saying, and I don't disagree with him, you know, kind of in principle, but I also think that the Saints shouldn't turn their nose up at field goals, right? Like, I think, yes, you do need to cash in on some of these drives. Like, I think you probably need – you need at least one touchdown drive, probably two, to give yourself a chance. But 4 field goals and a touchdown drive, I can deal with that. 3 field goals and 2 touchdown drives, I can deal with that. You need to put points on the board, right? And you have Blake Griffin. He's a weapon for you. If you can get the ball to the 40, you can chalk up 3 points.
You just like field goals because you got Groupie in fantasy.
That does help. That does help. But no, I mean, it's a situation that I can't be getting overly aggressive because I'm feeling this pressure. Like, I got to finish this drive off. I got to finish this drive off. 3 points is better than no points. And building confidence and continuing to maintain the ball. Like, if the options are, I'm going to force this ball into tight coverage versus I'm going to kind of live and play another down. And if we get stopped short of the first, you know, it is what it is. Like, I need to keep positive things happening. Right. So, you know, I don't want to be hunting chunk plays. I don't want to be, you know, putting too much pressure on the quarterback. It's like, play within yourself.
But I think he's saying you need to have those chunk
plays. Yeah, you're not going to win the game if you don't get any touchdowns. Like, you can't only kick field goals, but you also can't play in such a way that it's so haphazard that you're sacrificing field goals because you desperately want a touchdown. Now, what I'm interested in is how aggressive is Kellen Moore going to be on 4th and short.
Yeah.
And the reason I wonder that is because, you know, we saw, I can't remember which game it was. I think it might have been the Jaguars. Might have been the Titans. Who else did we play? I can't even remember. But it was the Jaguars. And, you know, there was a 4th down early in the game, and it was like 4th and 1 on the Saints 35, and they went for it. And I remember Deuce at the time being like, hey, this is strange because they've been playing a lot of this game like they're going to play a real game, and it's interesting they made this decision. And I asked Kellen after the game, like, hey, is this a preseason thing? Or, you know, were you just being aggressive because you want to be aggressive? And he said, yeah, we're going to be aggressive. So, like, how aggressive are the Saints going to be on 4th down? I think they're going to be aggressive. I don't think you're going to see the Saints punting on a lot of 4th and 1s. And I don't know how much that mentality is driven by, hey, we were with the Eagles and we got 4th and 1. Like, you could.
It was a gimme.
You didn't even need to think about it. Like, you got 4th and 1, you're going every time because you're getting it every time. I don't know. How good is this Saints team going to be in that part of the game? They didn't get that 4th down, and Spencer Rattler isn't a guy that I would say one of his strengths is being big and strong and be able to push the pile in that situation. Like, one of the reasons
he's not built like Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, right. I don't know if he squats 500 pounds. But anyway, like, that's a question I have, because those are added value plays when you pick them up, but they're going to be second-guessed to oblivion when you don't. So we'll see how Kellen Moore is as a head coach.
Good news, too, for this black and gold bunch. Alante Taylor was nursing a groin injury for a lot of training camp. Didn't get to see him in preseason action, but was not on the injury report. Doesn't have a designation for him going into this game. But how much usage will he get? Deuce McAllister talked about what he expects to see out of Alante in this matchup.
Not throwing him out there for 95, even 100% of the plays. If I use him, it's going to be probably 40 to 50% of the plays. It's just, you know, we've seen it too many times where you throw a guy out there immediately, missed all the camp, missed 3 or 4 weeks, and now you expect him to play up to par. It just doesn't happen like that. I'm going to use him. He's a big part of what they want to do. but I'm probably going to give him 50% of the work and let him build up into, you know, where he needs to be, not only from a mental aspect, but just from reps. You know, I understand. I know you're a veteran, and you're a really, really good player for us. But at the end of the day, I'm not throwing him out there 100% of the plays.
Having Alante available, definitely huge for this defense. We know he's taking over that star role in Brandon Staley's scheme.
Yeah, it's an important role, and I think that's, you know, as frustrating as it is to not have Chase Young, having Alante out there is a big difference for this team, and hopefully he's been able to kind of stay engaged. We talked to him in the locker room, and it sounds like he has. It was very frustrating for him to sit out that long, you know. But he makes things go on this defense, whether it's rushing the passer, whether it's covering tight ends. Like, he's a guy that I trust as a tackler. Like, that's one of the things about this Saints defense that I feel a little more confident in is going to be their ability to go up and make tackles in space. He's a big part of it. Justin Reed's a big part of it. Julian Blackman's a big part of it. Like, I think they're going to be better in that part of the game than they were. Because last year it just seemed too often that, you know, a 6-yard run turned into a 12-yard run because you didn't make a tackle at the point of attack. And so Alante's a big part of that. And covering Trey McBride's going to – it's going to be a big question, and I think you're going to put a lot of that burden on Alante. He's going to be asked to do a lot of different things. He's going to be asked to communicate with all three levels of the defense, and I know Brandon Staley loves him.
Looking at this Arizona Cardinals offense, led by their quarterback and Kyler Murray, who's coming into this game, we found out, with a sickness. We'll be seeing if that affects him any going into the matchup against.
But he's not down with the sickness.
He's not down with the sickness.
He's up with the sickness.
Okay, he is a guy that you have to worry about his scrambling ability, but when he is on the move, he's also someone that will throw on the run, and Deuce McAllister talked about that.
Yeah, and I think when I go back and look at it, I think going to the left is his favorite. So I want to flush him right. I want to flush him right, or I want to keep him in the middle of the field. Now, if he's in the middle of the field, I mean, as far as in the pocket, that's fine. Normally, if it's not deep middle, he's not looking in that area. He's going to be looking for the check now, or he's looking for the deep out. Now, here's the thing. He's got the arm to be able to do it. But I think that you will have more opportunities if he is in the pocket to be able to take away some of the things that he likes to do. Because if he's in the pocket, he's not breaking down and they turn it into a scramble drill where now he's got you on skates because he can run it and he can still keep his eyes down the field. And just with the flick of a wrist, he can hit you.
Yeah, the problem with the Arizona quarterback, we know that he's an elite scrambler, very small target too, trying to track him down, has the speed, but he's not someone that's just going to take off and run. He will scramble to get open, look for that next read to get open.
Yeah, he'll scramble, and again, like we were talking about before, like, he'll move to create throwing lanes. Like, he's not always moving looking to get out and run. He's moving so that he can find the receivers and track them downfield. So, no, I mean, you know, one thing Brandon Staley said was, like, he's going to get you. It's like in basketball where it's like you can have a perfect shot wins, right? Like, I can play great defense. If you make the shot, it's still a made shot, right? And there's going to be instances where you do everything you can and he still beats you. You can't kind of unravel in those instances. You got to stay composed. And that's a big question for me. Like, how does this coaching staff, like, can they keep this group in that phase of, like, things aren't going well, they're still playing, they're not letting go of the rope, right? And those are those moments where you play great, he still beats you, and you have to come back and continue to execute. But, you know, he's going to get his. Like, Kyler's going to find a way to impact you. You just can't let that be the story of the game.
When we talk to Deuce, too, always like to get his perspectives on running backs. Kendra Miller going into a big season. We know with this black and gold bunch, health has been an issue for him. Want to see what Kendrick can do this year now, a new regime, new slate for him. We were asked, Deuce, what's his advice for Kendra Miller?
My advice, keep your head down and work. Block out the noise, keep your head down and work. You kind of know what it's like now and what I have to do to get my body ready, even though I may not feel like that I need to go to the sauna, even though I feel like I may not need to go to the chiropractor. Those are things that I need to do. Because the most important part for Kendra is being available on Sunday. So don't take it for granted because at this point, you know that, hey, I'm out to prove week in and week out that I can be available, because playing the game, I know I can do. It's just, can I make it for 17 games? And so keep your head down and work. You know, I'm soaking in everything that they teach me. You know, it's a new system for him, so he's having to learn nuances and do different things. So I want to go and play, but I just want to work, and I think that's the most important thing for him.
It was good to see Kendra Miller being able to last these, you know, preseason going into the game. Obviously, last year was pretty frustrating. What was it, the first practice of camp out west, and all of a sudden he's dealing with that hamstring issue that seemed to be bothersome the entire season.
It was the first drill of camp. It was the first set of individual drills that he went through, and then yank, he's done for the entirety of camp. So, no, I mean, like, he's excited. I think this team is excited for him. And he's going to get opportunities, and, you know, we'll see how he delivers on them. But, you know, like, they drafted him in the third round because they really liked what he had to offer. You know, like, and I think people are frustrated and say, ah, it's a missed pick. It's only a missed pick if he doesn't get out there and deliver, and I think this is his opportunity to do that. Year three is always important.
You know, that term we always talked about, seeing the flashes, you have seen those from him. It's just the fact that we haven't seen it enough.
No, exactly, and it's not even that we haven't seen it enough, it's that he hasn't been out there to do it, right? Like, it's not like he's been out there for a lot of games and, like, oh, he just shows up with these big moments and disappears. Like, he literally is not there. To get those done. So hopefully we can get, you know, it's like 17 games. Like, I don't need 17 games. I need like 15 games. Give me 15. Can you give me 15? Let's do 15.
Just little baby steps in the increments and increasing that workload.
Let's do that.
We're going to take a break right now on First Take, the Caesar Sportsbook First Take. We'll be back as we get ready for the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff coming up at 10 a.m. The Cajun Cannon in the house. You can stop by, say hey, as we are at Gate B, Loge level, hanging out, getting ready for kickoff in the Superdome, which is a noon start. Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas on the call. We'll return with even more First Take, though, right after this on WWL. Back here on the Caesars Sportsbook First Take as we close things out, getting ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kick off. Jeff, you'll be making your way down to the sideline, getting all your gear and ready for this action. Looking forward to the scene in the Dome today, just because it is week one. It's a whole lot different than preseason play. All the folks wearing gold. We got gold even in the end zone.
Yeah. You got the gold jerseys. You got the gold end zones. First time the Saints played in a field with gold end zone since the Super Bowl. Maybe they can get some of those vibes back. But I'm excited. I think it's going to be a fun game. I think it's going to be a fun energy in this building today.
Definitely looking forward to it. The start of the Kellen Moore era. Thanks for tuning into the Caesars Sportsbook First Take, folks. Coming up next, Cajun Cannon, Bobby Aber with the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff. We'll be back with even more on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.